And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our live streaming video cast of our show every night. We have a podcast of our show available to you the next morning. We have a classic podcast from our thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. And that's available 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We are going to continue on with our radio show past the 24th, which is the last day with Talk Radio Network. We will commence the following day, remaining on terrestrial radio and remaining available to you, our grand listeners and radio stations, for as long as you want us. We are planning a great many changes, not, you know, profound changes in the basic approach of the show. We're not going to do that again, man. You know.
Yeah, you butchered it up when you done did it that time.
Okay, bud, I don't need your review, all right?
Yeah, you gotta admit you did.
I'm not gonna talk about it.
So you don't even want to get... All they're saying is that the audience may be afraid of the fact that you're going to carve it a new... I'm gonna say the word. You're gonna carve it a new ass.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The radio show will continue to be a comedic offering... It will continue to mine the uniqueness of its approach to satire. We are going to bring phone calls back into the mix, which I know cannot distress anybody who's familiar with our show. So, if anything, we're going to make it stronger, better, give it vitamins, bulk it up, feed it lots of protein, give it steroids.
So then your show eventually will look like some sort of cancer-ridden freak.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want to be... Do that.
Oh, why don't you people grow up, cancer-ridden freak? And
well, you're talking about giving your show steroids, Phil.
Don't get all freaked out. It's just a figure of speech. Anyway, the 25th, nothing changes, man. We are still here with yous. So make sure, folks, those of you listening, make sure your local station where you are listening to us right now, make sure that they're continuing to carry the Phil Hendry Show. Tell them that that is your desire, your need, your want. In fact, that is something you've got to have, or you just may not make it till the next morning. Don't do that.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of people in trouble.
All right, don't say that, but, you know, something close. All right. Anyway, welcome back to our show. It is our weekend. I'm going to a barbecue today. Today. Sounds kind of funny, but in a few hours, and I say a few hours, I'll get some sleep, but I'm expected... at my good friend DJ O's and his lovely wife Pam, because their two kids, Katie and Joe, graduated from college, and today's the day. And I thought it was very interesting. It's going to be a swim party, you know.
Now, are you going to wear a bathing suit?
No, I am not.
Why not?
I'm not going to wear a bathing suit because I don't want to, because I don't want to. I think it's the kids, you know. I think that's where it's at.
What does that mean?
I think that when they say a swim party and there's going to be adults and kids, I think basically the pool's for the kids. But I have made the executive decision.
Oh, here we go. You're going to live a regret on this one.
Hold on. I've made the executive decision that I will bring a yucca jug.
Oh, my God. So you are going to do it in front of children. See, this is where, Phil, I feel as if I lose control of my, well...
Of your functions?
Of my functions, yes.
Why?
When I hear that you are going to be drinking yucca and making yucca in front of children...
Wait a second. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. All it is a margarita.
It's a margarita that you yourself has said has a... A psilocybin mushroom kick. There, I said it.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
And you feel comfortable with that?
I know what I mean by that, and I don't mean that literally, folks, but I will say that yucca is a margarita. Yucca is the greatest margarita you'll ever have in your life, and it has something that's even better than an alcohol effect to it. It's, I can't describe it. There's almost as if it's an upper, you know?
Well, alcohol is a euphoric. Okay, Phil. Now, what do we mean by that?
Excuse me for a minute. Should I call you Dr. Gray?
Don't be a smartass, Phil. I've got a little bit of training in this.
Since when?
I was a nurse.
So? Well, look, Margaret, go ahead, but don't give me some pitch about how you're an authority.
I'm telling you that alcohol is a euphoric. Now then, marijuana which I know nothing about, and I do not know the effects of it, but I have read, is a sedative hypnotic. A sedative hypnotic. Okay?
Yeah.
I counted, there's one finger. Okay, this finger is, it is a euphoric. This finger is for?
Sedative hypnotic.
Sedative hypnotic. What is this finger for?
Maybe put it in your nose. Ow!
See what happens? Why don't you put it under control?
It's not me. That was a pretty funny line. Why'd you hit him?
Why did I, that wasn't funny at all. It was disrespectful.
Zeb, you got something with an extra finger. Might as well stick it in your nose.
Okay, great. Here. There. Now, you think that's funny, bud? Then mine. I got my finger in my nose. How do you... You know, all three of you, I hope all three of you burn and burn, burn good when you go down to hell.
I'm sorry, we didn't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I then...
Why don't you take your finger out of your nose?
I said I hope the three of you burn thoroughly in hell. Excuse me. While I go, yes, to the bathroom.
Okay.
Well, doesn't that hurt your feelings?
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I've been told to go to hell so many different ways by you.
You make it sound like I'm the bad one here, Phil.
Margaret, go to the bathroom, please. Interesting. Whatever it was there that Margaret said, that's fantastic. All right, Iron Man has a really cool red and gold metallic suit that allows the... let's just talk about Iron Man here as Robert Downey Jr., okay? He's got a very, very cool red and gold metallic suit that allows him to fly and do all sorts of neat stuff. Robert Downey Jr., however, does not, and that's the trouble for young Jason Denno, I think is this young man's name. Jason Denno. Denno, who is 18 months old, got a lesson in real life versus R-E-E-L life, real life on Thursday, when he came face-to-face with Downey while the actor was in the Western Massachusetts community of Sunderland filming his upcoming comedy drama, The Judge. Heather Denno, Jason's mom and a resident of Sunderland, heard from her husband that Downey was in the neighborhood, and she took her son, who happened to be wearing a tough-looking Superman shirt, took him out for a walk in the hopes of meeting the actor. My husband's a huge Iron Man fan, Denno said, according to the Boston Globe. He said, you have to take Jason down to see Iron Man. Mom didn't care. She, of course, she just, you know, yeah, right. Turns out Downey was indeed nearby and happy to talk to Jason, but Jason promised a meeting with Iron Man, instead was introduced to a guy in a polo shirt and jeans who didn't even have, Tony Stark's cool guy facial stubble. The result? A crying child who just experienced disillusion for the very first time. This is a funny picture. You see this?
That's the kid crying right after he met him?
Yeah. It's not even a pose. I'm going to show this to the fans, to the folks that are watching. Phil TV in HD. Is this on Yahoo?
I don't know.
Well, all right. Let's get over here. The picture is hysterical because it shows Downey trying to console this little boy, and the kid will not be consoled. His face is just buried in his hands. Where the hell is this, man? There's Mariah Carey, and she's, here it is. Look at this picture. I'll just flash it on the screen.
But that kid's got his face buried in his hands.
Well, obviously the boy's in distress.
Oh, come. Yeah, he's in distress, but I don't know if it's because he didn't recognize Downey as Iron Man or that he just was scared of all of the attention. You know, Margaret, you were the mother of an infant boy. What do you think?
Well, I think it's an interesting proposition that you put forward, Phil. But as a mother, and yes, thank you, I am a mother and was a mother and will be a mother. I'll always be a mother. And so I have those credentials. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes, yes.
All right. So looking at this picture, if that was Jason J. Delmonico, the first thing I'd do, and you do it in a very loving way, you grab a handful of the hair. Now, you don't pull the hair.
Of Robert Downey?
No, my God, no. Of the child. Because the child's being rude. He's got his face in his hands, and he's going, oh, boo-hoo, as Robert Downey is trying to comfort him. You grab a handful of hair, and you pull the head back.
That'd be abusing a kid.
No, it is not abusing the child.
Well, if you're grabbing a handful of hair and pulling the head back, aren't you pulling the hair?
No, you're not. You're doing it gently. You pull the head back with a handful of hair, and you look, get nose to nose with the child, and say to the child, Iron Man, Iron Man. And the child's eyes should bug out and widen. If they don't, drop the head, let the child cry some more, and then reapproach, handful of hair, pull the head back, eyeball to eyeball, so you're looking right into the eye, just one eye. And you say, Iron Man. Now, you being an adult, saying that loudly into the face of a little boy, your breath alone should wake that child up, startle the child, and most likely cause some shock.
Your breath?
Well, yes, because you're an adult, and you're breathing all that alcohol and tobacco and just iron, you know. If the child's eyes again do not bug out and widen, drop the head again.
Wait a minute, Margaret. What do you mean, drop the head again? It sounds to me like this is a physical form of abuse. Pardon me for saying.
How dare you say that to a mother?
Well, I'm saying it to a mother.
Saying it to a mother that clutched the kid's head.
I didn't clutch the head. Clutch. I grabbed the hair, pulled the head back, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, and I said, Iron Man.
What's that supposed to mean to the kid?
Boy, you're high on a mixture of chemicals. It means Iron Man.
Miss Gray, your voice all cracked. You went, it mean?
I know. Thank you, Robert. It means Iron Man. And the boy knows who Iron Man is. Because the boy wanted the mother to take the boy to see the Iron Man.
Didn't want to see Iron Boy.
Didn't want to see Iron Boy. Thank you, Bud.
Iron Boy?
Well, what is it with you? You're trying to...
I'm saying, is this a way to communicate with a little boy? Because look at that child. Again, we'll show you the picture. And Mr. Downey, who the picture he's posing for is actually very funny. The little baby there with his face in his hands. I said to my son, hey, here's Iron Man, but he didn't have the red suit on. So Jason put his hands over his face and got upset. Now, how does the mother know that the boy was getting upset over the fact that Downey was not wearing the red suit? And how does the mother know that the boy was getting upset just because he was nervous meeting Iron Man?
Well, what is that? Well, that sounded like drivel that's a new level of drivel.
Wait a second, Margaret. How does the mother know what this child is crying about?
She's the mother of that boy, Phil. She was almost ripped in two bringing that into the world.
Got a break, because he just sent a message of break, and you're blowing it bad.
Oh, shut up. We'll be right back. We do have to break. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Blowing it really bad.
Our
bitch. We're not blowing anything.
The Phil Henry Show.
I went on my diet, which is now it's a year and 3-4 months ago, and dropped all that weight. Just by nature, by virtue of the fact that you want to hold the calories down, one of the foods that you find yourself not eating, because what happens is if you're only giving yourself 2,000 calories a day, which is all I give myself, although the last few days, because I had a visitor, and now I'm going to this barbecue tomorrow, I mean, Sunday is going to be come to Jesus day for me.
Have you put on a lot of calories?
Oh, man, I busted my diet out the last 3-4 days and will tomorrow, too. So Sunday is going to be like running on the beach day and really, you know, getting back to where I ought to be. But when you're holding the calories down and you're making decisions on food, one of the things you find yourself cutting out very quickly is meat. Red meat, chicken, I don't give a damn what it is. Salmon, you name it, you find yourself... holding down the calories by cutting a lot of that out. The only meat that I eat is that low-cal bacon. What the hell is that stuff that I eat?
That's called like Jimmy Dean.
No, it ain't Jimmy Dean. It's
it's not Jenny O.
It's Jimmy. It's Jenny Dean.
There ain't no Jenny. It's Jenny O. Yeah.
What about Jenny Dean?
There's no Jenny Dean.
What about Jimmy Dean?
I ain't eating Jimmy Dean. I'm going to belch you. There's no Jimmy D. It's Jenny O, and it's like, I don't know, 40 calories, no, 35 calories a slice. And then there's this Hebrew National, which is a very, very low-cal beef hot dog. It's 45 calories, and that's about it, man. I'm not, you know, I can't fool around with it because it's really high-calorie food. That and, oh, I don't know, no dairy, forget it, man. So I'm already kind of tending in the direction of, I'm not saying I'm a vegetarian, I'm not saying I'm a vegan. What I'm saying is I'm going at this in a way that sort of makes me almost a vegetarian, because if I want to keep the calories down and I want to, at the same time, you know, maintain my weight and at the same time get protein, I tend not to eat a lot of meat. And so and I don't eat pork anymore. I mean, the bacon I'm talking about is turkey bacon. I don't eat any swine. And the reason why I don't eat swine is for the same reason why I don't eat dog. I can't do it. I just can't do it. The animal itself seems to have the animal has seemed to taken a place in my mind and in my heart as, you know, a fellow traveler on this spaceship Earth, you know.
What do you think, a pig? Is a pig equal to a man?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you're talking as if the pig is someday going to be right shoulder to shoulder with us, conquering this planet.
No, I'm not. What?
What are you talking about, then?
Do you eat dog?
No. I would if I got hungry enough.
Okay, if I got hungry enough, too, I guess I would. But we don't eat dog, and we don't eat dog not because it's a meat-eating animal that won't taste good. We don't eat dog because dog is our friend. And pigs seem to have a similar intelligence. Now, the other thing is these ads that I have seen showing the brutality that is exhibited to animals that we do eat in these slaughterhouses, I'll be honest with you, it's gotten to me. It's gotten to me. I can't, I'm not telling anybody else how to live. I'm not telling anybody else how to live. I'm not joining PETA. I'm just telling you, this guy here, I can't take it anymore, man. I can't look at an animal being treated that way and then decide I'm going to sit down.
Although you will have a steak tomorrow.
Yes, of course. Now,
well, isn't that a fine how do you do? So you are going to have your steak, even though
I don't know if we're having steak. And besides, if we have steak, I'll make sure that the steak was from a cow that willingly sacrificed its life for my barbecue.
What? That's...
I'm kidding. I don't know. I probably won't. Now, that's me. I'm not a guy. I don't join PETA. I'm not a reform smoker. I quit smoking, you know, 3 years ago. I quit smoking 3.5 years ago. But I'm not a reform smoker. I don't like those kinds of people. I don't like those rude bastards that walk up to total strangers and start waving their hand in front of their nose. Because I'll tell you, you're asking for a punch in the nose when you do that. Don't be stupid. And some of these people that quit smoking and then become reform smokers, and they're going to walk up and waving their hand in front of some their face and saying, and being really rude to a complete stranger who's smoking a cigarette in a totally legal fashion, you're asking for somebody to punch your teeth down your throat. I'm not saying I do it. I'm just telling you. It's rude behavior. And you exhibit no, absolutely no breeding at all. And you're not a very good example for your kids when you do something like that. You don't like smoking? Stay the hell away from it. If the person is breaking the law or is otherwise smoking in an unauthorized way or in an unauthorized area, there are ways of dealing with that without starting a confrontation. I don't know who the hell some of these people think they are. I mean, it's dangerous behavior. It's dangerous behavior. You walk up to a total stranger and start waving your hand in front of your face. Some people will drop the cigarette and break your jaw. Now, I know that there are people listening to me right now who don't smoke, and they want to walk up to somebody and tell them to quit smoking, and they think they're badass. I'd like to see the guy try and tell me, well, yeah, okay, fine. Well, you'll get your wish. For me, if somebody is smoking in an area that I don't want to, you know, as they're not supposed to be, I get my ass out of there. If it's a place that I can't avoid, and yes, then I will deal with it through whoever the authority figure is. I'm not getting pissed off because somebody lit a cigarette and I'm downwind from it and I can smell it and the guy's smoking it in a totally legal way. That's why I'm not a reform smoker. That's why I ain't joining PETA. Okay?
Well, who did the commercials that show you the animals being slaughtered in the slaughterhouse? You can thank PETA for that.
Yeah, and then they go out and have a hamburger.
No, they don't.
Well, no, I doubt if they do. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
So if I go to, if I bring Yucca, oh, we're back. Welcome. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and of course online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, the online home of the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, is that Steve Bozell on what line?
Got Steve Bozell on line 3 and was very interested in a Yucca.
Steve Bozell's interested in Yucca. All right. And Steve, hi. Steven, hi. It's Phil Henry. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Phil, and I was very interested if you were going to give out a yucca recipe at all.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
And I don't. It's none of my business, and if you're okay with it, you're okay with it. But I thought that you had a drinking problem.
Yes, sir, I did, and I feel like I can handle it. I did have a drinking problem, but my drinking problem did not involve any physical violence. I generally just wound up sleeping, you know, going to sleep, and my drinking problem had no overtones of violence or anything.
Well, you say you wound up going to sleep. You would sleep in odd places, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I fell asleep in my car. I fell asleep one time in the city park, at the Corona City Park. I fell asleep at the Corona City pool one night. I slept on the on the pool deck. Just things like that. I slept in the street. I just laid down in the middle of our street, which could have been dangerous, but there's very low traffic volume.
But that's still very weird, irresponsible behavior, isn't it?
I'm kind of caught between a rock. I called up just to find out about Yucca, and now you're giving me a whole...
Yeah, you're playing preacher with him.
Yeah, you're playing the preacher man, you know, and it reminds me of the... You know, the son of a preacher man. That song about the girl that had sex with a preacher, and so I don't know what that means. But
yeah, why'd you bring that up?
It's just like you're the one that's going to get, you know.
Why don't you just tell?
All right, you want the yucca recipe?
Yeah, I wanted the yucca recipe because I wanted to get a jug of yucca going tomorrow. Because
why?
Well, tomorrow Roy Hutchins is going to be coming over to our place, and he's going to start digging our... I'm putting in a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And Hutchins is going to be over tomorrow, and he always loves to take his shirt off, and he always loves to, you know, show it off.
Who's building the spa?
Roy is. He's got a pool business, and I contracted with Roy to come over and put in a spa for us. We've already got the pool, but I want to put in the jacuzzi. And so I contracted with his company. He said, well, he'll start the digging tomorrow. He'll put probably get some steel in and probably start to dig some footings. And I know he's going to pull his shirt off, and he'll probably do something that he always do, which is he'll pull his pants off, and he's got on a Speedo.
But you know that this guy Hutchins does this to drive you nuts, right?
Yeah, I do. And he...
And every time you allow this to drive you nuts, he wins.
No, because first of all, he comes over and...
Why do you use his company? Why do you even have that guy come to the house?
He's a longtime friend of mine.
This is a friend of yours who is stripping off his clothes tomorrow to show his physique. He grows these zucchinis and nicknames them John Holmes and shows them off to your wife and daughter. I mean, this guy is not a friend of yours.
I'm saying that he's a friend, yeah, but he's also the scum of the earth, too. So I recognize what he is. I look at Hutchins and I know what it is. I know what it is. I know I know the gestation period for it. I know where it crawls off to at night.
You're talking about Roy Hutchins?
Yeah. What do you think?
It sounds like you're describing some sort of a shellfish.
But hey, you know, if the flippers, well, I don't know, if the shellfish don't wear shoes, but if it were to wear a shoe,
yeah, what kind of shoe would a shellfish wear?
I don't know. A loafer, if the loafer fits.
A loafer?
I don't know. Mr. Henry is trying to confuse me.
All right, let's get off that topic. So you want the recipe to yucca?
Yeah.
Why, can I ask why you need it?
Because if Hutchins is coming over tomorrow to start digging this spa, and I got to look at him taking his shirt off and going, hey, you know, and showing his buns and everything, I need something to call. I don't want to take a drink.
So you're going to drink yucca to calm yourself down while Hutchins is digging your new spa with his shirt off, flexing his tattoos around your wife and daughter?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. See, this is what I mean, Ms. Gray.
Phil, don't lecture him. Just do it.
Yeah, Ms. Gray said call, and I did, and now you're giving me a big...
I'm not going to give you a big song and a dance. I'll tell you. But I think it's kind of messed up that you're going to sit there slugging back yucca of all the things.
I want some yucca. I want tequila. I want a good tasting. I want to have a margarita tomorrow that is going to get me far enough away from the reality of what's going to be taking place. I want to go places mentally. And you
want to go places? Dude, you're getting way wrapped up.
Phil, would you stop with the lecture and just give him the yucca?
Okay, Roy. I mean...
Oh, great. He calls me Roy. What a dirty...
All right, take it. I misspoke, okay? Okay, Steve? Okay? What did you say?
I said okay.
All right. Get a big 2-gallon jug.
2-gallon jug.
You know, one of those big, tall jugs that you can buy at a kitchen supply place. They usually have those rubber tops that seal.
Okay, a rubber top seals.
And then you fill that 3/4 of the way with ice.
3/4 of the way ice.
Pour in a full bottle of tequila.
Now, should I use, like, Don Julio or...
No, don't use good tequila when you're making margaritas. Don't use good tequila when you're making yucca. Don't ever use good tequila for any of that garbage. Only use good tequila when you're sipping it, when you're drinking it straight, etc. Don't use good tequila for anything other than drinking it straight.
Well, I can't drink because the taste of tequila makes throw up. I can taste throw up.
Okay, you can taste throw up. Well, don't use good tequila. Just use some rot gut.
Like what?
Like Cuervo. Use some of that. Or Herradura, some of this stuff, I wouldn't drink it with your lips. But in any event...
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I heard that Herradura, or however you pronounce it, was good.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Just get some... Pour in a bottle of tequila.
All right.
Get a cup of sugar.
Okay, a little cup of sugar.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
We're not doing the Denny Bracken cooking show on KNX, okay? So could you knock it off with the one cup of sugar? Take a cup of sugar, pour that in.
Now, what have I poured in?
You've filled the jug up with 3/4 of the way with ice.
Okay.
You poured in a bottle of tequila, and then you've poured in a cup of sugar. Now, take the juice of 2 lemons and 2 limes, squeeze that juice in there.
Okay, and this part where you throw in the peelings?
Yeah, then throw the peelings in. Exactly. Now, seal that sucker up. Let me see, are we forgetting anything? No, we're not forgetting anything. Seal that up, and then I want you to wrap it with a towel because it's about to get really cold. Now, you're going to have to shake that thing for 50 minutes.
Okay, I got to shake it for 50 minutes.
Right, 50 minutes minimum. You can shake it for longer if you want, but I say 50 minutes because what you're doing is there's a chemical reaction going on. And you're also grinding that ice up so it turns into a nice slushy. And it's going to be hard to do it by yourself. Are you going to drink with anybody else?
Well, I mean, I hadn't planned on it. I guess April, you know. Hey, honey, you want to have a yucca? Hey, honey, want to have a little yucca? Come on, have some yucca with Daddy. Yeah? All right. My wife, she's game.
So the two of you are going to be slapping down that yucca, huh?
Yeah. Now, honey, you go checking out Roy. Huh? Yeah. I told her I don't need that, but if I can get drunk enough, I won't care.
See, this worries me. I'm just telling you.
Come on, Phil, quit it.
Don't lecture him, Phil.
All right, fine. But it worries me that you're going to go and get hammered tomorrow so you can dull the pain of Roy Hutchins taking his shirt off.
Oh, yeah, sure, laugh now. Great.
Well, anyway, there you go. So if you got your wife with you, then you guys take turns shaking this thing for 50 minutes.
Well, now, what are we supposed to do during a whole 50 minutes?
Well, I mean, you can have beers or something, sit in the pool, you know, do whatever. But now, a lot of people, when they're having these yucca parties, you start a jug and you get that one finished. And after 50 minutes, you uncork that and, you know, you pass the jug back and forth. And then you start another one right away. But there's only two of you, and I don't know how much of this stuff you want to drink. It's pretty potent, you know.
Let me tell you what, man. Hutchins, with his shirt off, then he's going to have his Speedo on, and he's going to be all, yeah, I'm digging a pool, yeah. And I'm going to, man, I'm going to want to get drunk. I'm going to want to get blind stinking drunk.
Boy, I don't know, man.
Please don't tell me how to do it, Mr. Andrew.
Fine, fine. But I just, all right, so do that. Pass the jug back and forth. And if you want to start another one while you're drinking that one, I guess you can do it. But there's only two of you. That's kind of weird. So have two jugs ready to go, you know.
Are you going to make yucca tomorrow on that party you're going to?
Probably, yeah. I think I will. Just as a kind of a little graduation present for the kids.
But you're going to have a whole lot of people helping you shake that jug, man. So you could probably make two or three, couldn't you?
I guess, dude, but I don't want to turn it into a tequila, you know, a rave, a tequila rave, because some people can't drink that stuff. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I remember April's brother. He took his pants off and ran in the hills. He ran in the hills for hours. We couldn't coax him down. We couldn't calm him down. I got a bullhorn here from Jerry Levalier. You know Hal's son?
Yeah.
I got a bullhorn from his garage. And probably all that night, I was calling out into the wild, just, you know, saying, come on down, come on down, come on down, come on down.
Who was this?
It was April's brother.
Tad?
Yeah. And Tad's up there. The last we saw, his pants came off, and he ran up into the barranca, and then I seen him cut across the ravine, and now he's up in the firebreak area there, okay?
Yeah.
And I got the bullhorn. I said, Tad, this is Steve. Come on down. Everything's good, you know. Not that he'd done anything bad, but in case he was scared about coming down.
Well, this guy was drunk on yucca?
Yeah, he was flying. Oh, baby. It was almost like I wished I was with him, you know, because he looked happy as he was scampering on up in there. And we finally coaxed him down. He had a lot of injury to the bareness of him, because there's all kinds of, I can't even get into it. Rattlesnake and
okay, did he get bit by a snake?
No, he didn't, but he should have. Well,
okay, good luck and have a nice yucca party. See you later.
Yeah, you just hung up on him.
Get him out of here, will you? What are you guys doing with him?
Well, Phil, we thought you could be polite to the man.
That guy's an alcoholic. Now, I know he's an alcoholic. He wants to get hammered tomorrow so he doesn't have to look at Roy Hutchins flexing his muscles while he's digging a spa. You know, he's drinking for all the wrong reasons. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. It is Saturday. Blessed Saturday.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just as a way to kind of wrap up the show tonight and to call back some of our Loch Ness Monster stuff, because we never really did. We were talking about whether it exists or not, but this is an interesting article. Loch Ness Monster sparks Highlands tourism row, or row, and this is from Scotsman.com. According to Alistair Munro, who wrote the article, a monster war of words has erupted over how the world-famous Nessie is promoted. The Loch Ness Monster is one of the Highlands' biggest assets, but the way the legendary monster is portrayed to tourists is threatening to split the business community on the shores she reputedly roams. There has been, and this is sort of English newspaper, it's British newspaper English, there has been resignations from the Drummond Drockett Chamber of Commerce following comments made by one member, George Edwards, of Loch Ness Cruises. In a letter sent to 70-plus members of the chamber, he criticizes those who he claims dispel Nessie as a myth. In particular, he said the narrative of staff given to tourists at the Loch Ness Center in the village, which overlooks the famous stretch of water, for being negative about the monster. He also accuses veteran researcher Adrian Shine of taking too much of a scientific approach to the legend, which he claims turns tourists off. Mr. Shine, meanwhile, accuses Mr. Edwards, who he said operates his business from a rival business in the village called Nessieland, as being a liar and a fraud. The row has led to resignations from the Chamber of Commerce, including Debbie McGregor of the Loch Ness Center and Tony Hamsworth, its former chairman, who has quit as editor of the Chamber's website. Mr. Edwards said, just about every time that Mr. Shine appears in the media, he talks about big fish and big waves. I believe they are doing more harm than good in promoting Loch Ness tourism with their negative theories. How many people come here to see the Loch Ness big fish or the Loch Ness big waves? In recent years, we've seen a decline in tourism across Scotland, and maybe it's time for Mr. Shine to put up or shut up. Mr. Shine and his cronies have been making a nice living out of Loch Ness for the past 20-odd years, and if they cannot see the logic in promoting Nessie, then maybe it's time they moved on, as they seem intent on destroying our industry.
I don't get it. What are they talking about?
Well, they're saying this man wants the Loch Ness monster to be promoted in a manner that doesn't exactly spell out that it doesn't exist.
Right. He wants some of the, you know, showbiz. He wants some showbiz attached to it. And I can see his point. I can see his point. Look. We all know that Tinkerbell doesn't exist. Or maybe Bud doesn't.
Tinkerbell? Are you kidding me?
And what I'm trying to say is, Disneyland doesn't have a big sign as you walk into the place saying, by the way, fairies and goblins and Tinkerbell and a talking mouse, none of that crap exists. And this is all, you know, obviously they enhance the believability of everything they're doing. So in their own way there, around the Grand Loch Ness, where the Loch Ness monster is supposed to be, in their own way, this gentleman is saying, why don't we do the same thing? Why don't we enhance the myth as opposed to dispel it with science? I think if you're going to get a question, and I don't think it's exactly the same thing, if you're going to get a question from a tourist, does the Loch Ness monster exist? And you're a scientist, you're going to answer honestly. If you're a tour director, if you're a tour guide, if you're a, well, you know, I mean, I think it's your job to, but you may piss some people off. If I want to know whether the damn Loch Ness monster exists, I know where to go to find out. I'm not going to ask the guy that's running my tour.
But most people, Phil, don't know that. They're going to say, excuse me, but does the Loch Ness monster exist or does it not?
Yeah, the guy's going to say, yeah, and we seen it the other day. Woo! Stuff like that.
And I'll say to him, I understand that you're trying to promote tourism. I'm asking you a serious question. Now either give me a serious answer or shut your hole and let me off of this bus and let me go to where I can find this out.
Yeah, so naturally, everything's got to devolve into a rude confrontation.
What are you talking about?
Shut your hole or let me off this bus.
That's what you did say.
Well, no, I'm not saying that exactly. That's the point that I'm trying to make with this imbecile. All right, not imbecile, but the Scottish. See, Phil, you're Scottish, and it's difficult for me to say what I really think of them.
Oh, really? What do you really think of the Scottish?
Well, I think they're slovenly. You can't understand a word they say. I think they're tight, cheap creeps. There.
Wow, that's some old school prejudice against the Scots.
No, it is not.
Yeah, it is. That whole tight, cheap creep thing.
God, Dan, talk about slovenly. Why you say that?
Because I don't know what's under the kilt. Neither do you, Phil.
Underwear.
Oh, my.
Underwear. Give me a break.
What about Braveheart when they BA'd, the British?
What do you mean when they BA'd the British? What does that mean?
Bare ass.
Boy, you've really got a garbage can for a brain.
Cut it out.
No, I won't cut it out.
You got a garbage can for a brain, bud. Watch it. I don't care what it said in Braveheart.
It's a movie, hello.
I know. I don't care what it said in Braveheart. I don't care if they BA'd the British Army. I don't give a damn about any of that stuff, man. The Scotsmen today wear their kilt properly. You know, they wear underwear, whatever the hell they're supposed to wear. They're not walking around with no underwear on. And as far as them being cheap and tight, I'm a Scotsman. Am I cheap and tight?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you're you got American blood running in you.
What do you mean American blood? I'm a Scotsman, and I ain't a cheap creep. So, there. All right, folks, the weekend is here. Have yourselves a merry little Christmas when Christmas arrives, but have yourself a great weekend, an even better weekend. We will see you back here on Monday. There will be no Saturday night movie coming up tonight. We apologize for that. We will be otherwise indisposed. However, we may just roll one on Sunday night. What do you think of that? The Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and Dan Northcraft. And for more on the Phil Henry Show, including access to thousands of hours of our archive material and our videocasts and everything else, go to philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass. Until Monday at 10 on the West Coast, 1 o'clock Tuesday morning on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.